Again, I want to welcome you this morning to our midweek video here. Today is Wednesday, September 7, 2022. This video will be released on 9/8 or tomorrow morning. Appreciate you tuning in and joining our YouTube channel here for this video. Hey, if you haven't already done so, if you consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell as a way of staying current with our ministry when we go live from our assembly building on Sunday morning, as well as when we create content for you here midweek, we would certainly appreciate that. I would love to see us reach 3,000 subscribers by the end of 2022. So if you are enjoying this channel, if you would consider liking, sharing, telling others about it, we would certainly appreciate that if you subscribe and ring the alarm bell. Our featured book for the month of September is going to be my book, The King James Bible in America, an Orthographic, Historical, and Textual Investigation. You can pick this up off of the Great New Grace Life Press website, or you can order it direct from the publisher at Dispensational Publishing House. But either way, we're featuring this book for the month of September, The King James Bible in America, an Orthographic, Historical, and Textual Investigation. And you'll see more why in this video, why I'm choosing to feature this book. Also want to remind you about our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. If you're into alt-text sites, if you would consider joining us on Rumble or would just like an alternative to YouTube, we established this as an alternative should something happen to our YouTube ministry. We'd appreciate seeing you over here as well on Rumble if you are so inclined. So in this video, what I want to talk about is actually something that I addressed in the King James Bible in America. This was released in 2019, and that is the words thoroughly and truly. Those of you who are familiar with this book, the premise of this book is it looks at four pairs of words, thoroughly, truly, establish, establish, and sample, example, all way and all ways, as a way of framing a conversation about the printed editions of the King James Bible in the United States after the founding of the Republic and what that looked like. And then it also addresses some things that are said about those words and why what has maybe been customarily said, that they are wholly different words of discriminated meaning, really presents a problem when you consider the printed history of the text in the United States. And by the text, I'm referring exclusively there to the King James Bible text in the New Republic. Okay, so this book was critiqued in 2020 by a pastor out of Connecticut, and so I established this playlist here, The King James Bible in America, to answer some of the critiques that were presented in the book back at that time. And then also, earlier this year, Brother Christopher Yetzer, a fellow researcher and a brother on Facebook, sent me a 1776 Birmingham printing. So this would be Birmingham in England, and showed me that even as early as 1776, in British printings, the spellings of these words were already being changed. And of course, I argue that these are not words thoroughly, truly, now I'm talking about specifically, these are not words of distinct discriminated meaning. These are spelling variants, and they mean the same thing, all right? And I argued that both in the book, The King James Bible in America. I also demonstrated that in the playlist here on The King James Bible in America, and just updated some folks earlier this year, looks like it was March 24, on the evidence from the Birmingham printing. Now, this past week, another interesting thing has happened. I was contacted by Rick Norris. Some of you who are familiar with the greater King James Modern Version debate probably are familiar with the name Rick Norris. Rick Norris contacted me, said that he had read my book, The King James Bible in America, and asked me to contact him. So he did that through the Grace Life Bible Church website, just with the little contact thing, and you only get like so many characters to send a message. And so I reached out to him, I responded to him, and we've had a bit of a conversation here via email of late. And it was related to there's some other things that we discussed, but one of them was these wording choices. And he told me that he has found wording variants in the spelling going all the way back to the earliest days of the printing of the King James Bible, even in Britain, on thoroughly, truly, establish, establish. And then we've discussed a couple other matters as well. Now, what I have on the screen here is the contents of his email to me, and you'll notice that what Brother Norris did is he took each occurrence of verses, and then he has noted all the variant spellings and then all the different editions that those variant spellings occur in. All right. Now, I know there are some folks in the greater, say, Texas Receptus pro King James space, who have been critical of some of Brother Norris's research in the past and have felt like he maybe has made some mistakes and so forth. It's not my place to go into that. What I am going to say, though, is as I look at this list, starting here at Genesis 11:3, I see just tons of different examples, dates, printings, years. There's no way that I have ability to corroborate all of this because I don't have access to all of these editions that Brother Norris has here in the list. But I can look at a few of them because I have pulled some of these editions off of early English books online and have them PDFs of them to consult. So I just want to look at a couple of examples here. And we're going to look at the earliest examples that we can. So let's look here at Genesis. We're just going to look at a few. Genesis chapter 11, verse 3. Okay. Now, the 1611 has thoroughly there. This is the old spelling of thoroughly. Thoroughly. That is the old spelling of thoroughly. So let me just address that quickly first. If you come here into the Oxford English Dictionary and you go to thoroughly, you will see that this spelling, the spelling that is in the 1611, is a spelling variant of thoroughly. It's an early form of spelling thoroughly. There are a bunch of examples here in the Oxford English Dictionary cataloging that spelling and noting that it's an early spelling of thoroughly. Okay, so we go back to the email here. The 1611 in Genesis 11:3 spells the word thoroughly, the old spelling of thoroughly, as does the 1613, the 1614, the 1616, the 1617, the 1626, the 1630, etc., all down this line, all spelled at London, did it this way, okay? Then we can see the more modern spelling of thoroughly in other editions from Cambridge, and then there is a bunch of Edinburgh editions here and that are spelling it thoroughly, the more modern spelling, starting with 1787. So the point that we can observe here from what Rick Norris sent me is that there is already varied orthography, varied spelling of these words from the very earliest days of the printed history of the text. Now, up to earlier this year, when Brother Yetzer sent me the 1776 edition, I had confined my research and my investigation to American printings only. All right. Now we have access and information that we need to check about British printings from the earliest days of the printed history of the text from London by Robert Barker, the King's printer, who first published the text in 1611 and then put forth subsequent editions in years following. Okay, so let's look at this. Let's go to Black Letter Bible, and we can compare in parallel columns here on the left the 1611 King James and the standard 1769 text over here on the right. Let's look at Genesis 11 and verse 3. Here's the 1611. They said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. So there is the old spelling of thoroughly, all right? 1769, and they said go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. Now, a point that I made both in the King James Bible in America and in my response here to in this playlist, number 7 on thoroughly, thoroughly, a point that I have made is that, look, if thoroughly and thoroughly are different words of discriminated meaning, then King James Bible advocates have a problem because the 1769 says thoroughly, but the 1611 has thoroughly. So that right there alone, on its face, if folks are going to persist in saying that these are wholly different words of discriminated meaning and the substantive doctrinal content of the text is altered if it's spelled one way and not the other, have a major problem here if they're going to persist in that position, because the words are spelled differently between a 1611 and a 1769. So I've made this point multiple times in multiple different places, okay? And it still is a point that holds even now in the face of new evidence that has been sent to me by the emails from Rick Norris. So what I have done is I have taken Rick Norris's list here, and I have checked it against as many early printings of the King James as I have ability and access to check it against. So if I can get my machine here to cooperate, let's look at some of this data, okay? And of course, it doesn't want to work now that I'm running the video, so bear with me. All right, here we go. Whoop. This is embarrassing, folks. Just a second. All right, here we go. This is the 1613 London printing, okay? And we can see right here, this is Genesis 11:3, and they said, go to... And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. 1613 printing has thoroughly, not truly. So the idea that this is that this variance in spelling is somehow something that American publishers have done in the last, say, 200 years, it's just not the case. There's already major spelling variation within the printed text from very early on. So that's 1613. We could go to 1616, and we could look at it and see if Brother Norris is correct. Look at verse 3. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. So again, it's thoroughly, just like it was in 1611, 1613, 1616 thoroughly, okay? And notice, nobody is complaining about how that's a corruption of the text, because everyone at the time understood what we seem to not be able to understand today in modern times, is that these are spelling variants and they carry the same meaning. Now, I'm not going to go through the OED and go through all the dictionary evidence and all the stuff that I went through in the past, because I have already done that with a high degree of efficiency in this video right here, number 7 in the playlist, The King James Bible in America. But we can see in the editions that I can check against Brother Norris's list, we can see very plainly that the spellings of the words in Genesis 11 were still thoroughly, the old spelling of thoroughly, not truly. So there's all sorts of things we could look at. 1617. I can't remember if we already checked this one out or not. Looks like we did not. Here's 1617. There it is again. Thoroughly, the old spelling of thoroughly. Okay. So the evidence now is just piling up, folks. All the verifiable objective evidence that we can check is piling up that these types of things were happening from very early on in the printed history of the text. And there is no evidence from people at the time who were reading this and saying that's a corruption. Now, I'm not saying on the off chance I have not read every line of every word ever written in the early 17th century, okay? So I'm not saying there's not an off chance that there couldn't be somebody complaining about this. I'm certainly not aware of it. And on the face of it, it's very obvious that these are simply spelling variants. They are nothing that need to be made necessarily a big deal about the way some folks are trying to do that in their argumentation, all right? Now, we should also look at another example where people tend to get kind of upset about this, and that's in 2 Timothy 3:17. I saw, listened to a podcast released just last month where somebody was talking about this verse and saying all kinds of unsubstantiated things about the meanings of these words, for which they offered no objective evidence. You just were supposed to take their word for it, that the words mean what this person said they meant. And they were using this occurrence right here in 2 Timothy 3:17. Notice that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works, throughly in the 1611, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works, throughly in the 1769 here, as we look at the Black Letter Bible, comparing 1611 with 1769. Okay, so we could see that is the case. If we go though to the list, we could see that early editions in London and Edinburgh were spelling that not truly, but thoroughly the old spelling. Okay, now I unfortunately don't have a 1614, but I do have a 1617, and let's go look at that right now. So here is a 1617 printing, London printing, the same printing that is in the list there by Brother Norris, and we can come in and we can look at verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, spelled with the old spelling of thoroughly. So, is that a corruption? There are many, many people who are King James advocates who will say that that's a corruption. I'm saying, if you're going to say that's a corruption, you have major problems for the printed history of the King James Bible text, not only in America, like I first argued in my book, The King James Bible in America, because I didn't have access to some of this information, but now even in the printed history of the text in Great Britain, England, from very early, within the first 5 years, 5 or 6 years, the first decade of the text being printed in Britain itself by the King's printer at London in these editions here that we've looked at. So I would just encourage everybody, and my main point in making this video is just to update people on the state of the research here. I appreciate getting the information from Rick Norris, and I appreciate the ability now that I have to check these against the printed history, the London printings that I do have access to now that I pulled off the internet. So this is the state of the research as it stands right now. I see no reason to say that thoroughly and throughly are different words of discriminated meaning. And if you're going to persist in that position, you have a major cascade effect now upon the printed histories of the King James Bible text, not just in America, as I argued at first, but now also in the British printings from very early on, coming from the King's printer himself. So for me, the position of least damage is to say that these are simply spelling variants, not different words of discriminated meaning. So I asked the body of Christ to, you know, prayerfully consider that. Why would we adopt a position that plays into the hands of those who are critical of our position by forcing us to declare now which printed edition of the King James is the inerrant one because it's the one that got all the spellings correct? And that is the other point I want to say before I go, is that these are lateral moves. I proved in my videos responding to the critique of my book, video number 7 specifically, that there are 4 examples here of lateral changes. There are 2 examples where the 1611 had thoroughly, and later editions, 1769, spelled it throughly. And then there are 2 examples where the 1611 had throughly, but the later editions updated to thoroughly. So these are lateral moves, folks, and the reality is the printed history of the text, the objective facts of the printed history of the text, create all sorts of problems for people if they're going to persist in the belief that these are different words of discriminated meaning and not, as I have argued, merely orthographical differences, different ways of spelling, different ways of, you know, when orthography was not yet fully established, different ways of saying the same thing. So before I go, I want to give a couple other updates also. The first thing I want to update you on is this coming Sunday, September 11, we are restarting the next term of my class, From This Generation Forever, A Study of God's Promise to Preserve His Word. We will be broadcasting that live from the assembly building, from the adult Sunday school classroom at 9 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday morning as we reboot that class for the next term. And I'm going to teach lesson 179, and we're going to begin looking at the notes of John Boyce and talking about John Boyce's notes and the general meaning and how those things kind of work together to give us an understanding of what happened at that sort of final toll gate in the creation of the King James Bible before the text was handed over to the King's printer Robert Barker, who we have talked about a little bit here in this video. So that class is rebooting this Sunday, September 11, with lesson 179, as we look at the notes of John Boyce and the general meeting. That's where we are going to pick up that class this coming Sunday. I also want to give you a heads up about where I'm going to be going in the near future in these midweek videos. Throughout the summer, a group of brethren called the that call themselves the Textual Confidence Collective have released a series of podcasts related to dealing with issues related to the biblical text, preservation, translation, etc., that I want to make some videos interacting with their content. So my plan is that next week, my midweek video, is going to be my first video interacting with some of the stuff that was said by the Textual Confidence Collective. So if you have watched any of this, I'm going to leave a link to this if you're interested in checking this out. As always, there'll be links to all of the shareable material in this video. So that's where I'm going midweek in the near future. Want to remind you about our playlist and the rebroadcasting of the Grace History Project here on this channel. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 9 a.m., we're rebroadcasting the Grace History Project. So if you're into the history of dispensational thought, or you want to understand church history from a mid-Acts Pauline point of view, please consider checking out the Grace History Project. Want to invite all of you also again to our Bible conference coming up next month here, the 2022 West Michigan Grace Bible Conference. Our theme and topic this year is the weapons of our warfare, understanding the nature of our spiritual warfare. We have three speakers, Dave Reed, Greg Reeser, and myself, and we're excited about this meeting, October 21, 22, and 23. In the description for the video, you will find a link to this. It gives the conference details, how you can contact us if you are interested or have some questions. So please check that out. Just this week, earlier, our new podcast episode that my wife and I have, the Just Grace It podcast, dropped a new episode. Who are you? Our righteous identity in Christ. We deal with that subject matter in this week's episode. So we got a lot of different avenues here, folks, to try to encourage you, to try to edify the body of Christ, to try to build you up, and also address topics that we think will be of interest to you. If you have liked this video, if you would consider liking the video, leaving a comment, sharing the video, we would certainly appreciate that. And anything you can do to help get the word out about this channel and this ministry, we would certainly be appreciative of. Before you go, the most important thing is whether or not you are saved. Are you justified before Almighty God? Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross, shed his blood in payment for your sin, was buried, and rose again the third day, the victor over sin and death. When you believe and rely and trust exclusively his shed blood for you on the cross, his burial and resurrection, the finished work of Christ, he will give you eternal life as a free gift. You'll be taken out of Adam and placed into the body of Christ. You will be sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. You'll be taken out from under the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Won't you please trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late? Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.